so far from glory.
Is that E flat? E flat. E flat.
When I think of how he came so far from glory, came and dwelt among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace. On Mount Calvary, take my place. Then I ask myself this question: who am I? Oh, who am I that a king would lead and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, thy Lord? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so, then to an old rugged cross he'd go. For who am I? Then I'm reminded of his words, I'll leave you never. If you'll be true, I'll give to you life forever. Oh, I wonder what I could have done to deserve God's only Son, to fight my battles until they're won. For who am I? Oh, who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine, Lord? Oh, the answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so. To an old rugged cross he'd go, for who am I? Then I'm reminded of his words, I'll leave you never. If you'll be true, then I'll give to you life forever. Oh, I wonder what I could have done to deserve God's only Son, to fight my battles until they're won. For who am I? Oh, who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Oh, who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine, Lord? Oh, the answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so. Then to an old rugged cross he'd go, for who am I? Oh, the answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so. Then to an old rugged cross he'd go, for who am I?
To the book of St. Mark, chapter 5. The book of St. Mark, chapter 5. I have a message burning on my heart this morning. I will do my best not to be long-winded, I really don't promise now. That's just a hopeful. The word of God is too precious to be shortchanged. How many know that? Hallelujah. The word of God's too precious to be shortchanged. And I have a message this morning that is extremely important. Extremely important. And I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ has come to set men free. Jesus Christ has come to set men free. That is the title of my message. And this generation needs it. I am dealing week by week with people that just break my heart because they're so bound. You know, I don't understand some of it. I don't really understand some of it. Well, I don't understand most of it. I just know that Jesus has come to set men free. And let's go to Mark chapter 5. We'll go to verse 6 through 9. And then we'll go to verse 18. And just read about six verses. And I need you to hear every word of this sermon. I'm not up here to entertain you. I'm not up here to try to show some skills, because I depend on the Holy Ghost only in my ministry. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only lean on Jesus' name. I'll never forget Brother David Lemons, great state overseer, a man that was really an inspiration to Brother Chambers. That was a theme of his life. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only lean on Jesus' name. I went over to the cell phone place this week, and my grandson Curtis works in there. They know that I'm granddad, and so they treat me really golden. They really do. This is in Gastonia, the Verizon place. And so they were so nice and kind, I went and got them all together now, together. Not one for everybody, but a dozen donuts, which was one donut for about everybody. May have been one or two left. And I brought them back, and Curtis was back in the back, so I handed to one of the dear men at the front, and there was a lady there also that both worked. And I said, I want you to give one of these to everybody from Curtis's grandfather. And I want you to tell them one thing. You know how sweet a donut is, don't you? I said, you tell them that I said Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And so I know that the Verizon employees in Gastonia heard the word, because I asked to make sure. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. How about saying that with me, would you? Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Mark 5, 6, listen carefully. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him, cried with a loud voice, and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High, thou Son of God, Most High? I adjure thee, by God, that thou torment me not. And that's the demons talking. I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Now go to verse 18. And when he had come into the ship, this is Jesus, he that had been possessed with the devils prayed him that he might be with him. The man delivered from demons wanted to go with Jesus in the ship. That's natural for someone who meets Jesus. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. And thou hast had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Jesus Christ has come to set men free. Would you just stretch your hand this way? Father, I need the wisdom of the Holy Ghost this morning. I trust only in thy wisdom and thy words and not mine. And I believe and pray that somebody will be set free this morning. And not just this morning, Father, but others as they hear this message in Jesus' name. Now you may be seated. Jesus Christ has come to set men free. Jesus Christ has come to set men free. If there is one thing this generation needs to understand, they appear to have very little thought of it, very little conscious of it. They need to understand the powers of Satan. They need to understand the nature of Satan. They need to understand the design of Satan. This world needs to see and know what is happening by the power of the devil. This world needs to understand the bondages of Satan. This world really needs to understand the devil. People laugh at the thought of a devil. People laugh at the thought of a devil. We have a generation of people so caught up in the world and the direction the world is going, they have no consciousness that there's an evil being preparing to take control of this earth just as soon as God will give him a little short span of time. He's getting ready to make this world a wilderness. He's getting ready to take control. And the world has little consciousness of it. In fact, practically none. And even the church world. How often do you even consider that Satan is after you? How often do you consider that he goeth about as a roaring lion, the scripture says, seeking whom he may devour. Thank you, Brother Marley. Seeking whom he may devour. My Bible talks about the devil taking men captive at his will. It is the will of the devil to take you captive. It is the will of the devil to capture you, to devour you, to make mincemeat out of you, to destroy you. That's the devil's will. That's the devil's design. And he's out to do it with all that in him. Most people have no consciousness of this fact. They have no understanding that their problems and their dark places and their moments of discouragement and their dark nights, they have no idea that the trouble in their home and the trouble on their job and the trouble in the government and the trouble all around them is a design of Satan. It is a work of Satan. There are only two powers that have dominion in this world. One is the power of Satan. He's the god of this world. Did you know that? He's the god of this world. And the other is Jehovah God, who owns the world. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He has given the devil a little space. A little space. You say, it don't seem like a little to me. You just aren't thinking about eternity. It's just a little space compared to eternity. And the devil has been given a little space. He's the god of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. He even has access into the throne room. He can go argue with God. I never have understood that clearly. I just accept it because the Bible says it. He can go argue with God. He can tell God what a rascal I am or what a rascal you are. He can look for our weaknesses and accuse us because of some weakness. The reason you must be careful with your life is because Satan is keeping charge and keeping an awareness of you. And he's ready to approach God and tell him every bad thing you even think must less do. Do you understand that? Satan is out to destroy. Satan is out to destroy. Now, please hear me when I try to say these things to you. That you got to understand them. There is no such thing as neutral ground. There is no such thing as neutral ground. Some people think I'm not serving God, but I'm not serving the devil. That's impossible. That's impossible. You're either serving God or in some way, unconscious maybe to yourself, you're serving the devil. You really are. Does that not scare you? It ought to frighten the daylights out of you if you're not saved. To realize that when you are trying to live in neutral ground, you're only making yourself available to Satan. You're only making yourself available to Satan. Now, I want to tell you three things. I remember years ago when the Church of God, we were in the denomination, and they asked me to write an article on this subject for the Church of God Evangel. And I wrote the article, still have it, have copies of it, many, many years ago now, and it was well received because I studied very carefully. There are three ways that Satan captures people. You got to hear this. And you probably ought to write your little note somewhere, unless you got, you know, a strong capacity of memory up here. You ought to write a little note and keep up with this. There are three ways that Satan captures people. One of them is oppression. One of them is obsession. And one of them is possession. Oh, you got that? Oppression, obsession, or possession. Oppression, obsession, and possession. Now let's deal with them individually a minute. Try not to be long. The first of them is oppression. Satan is oppressive. Satan's powers are oppressive. Satan is out to oppress you. Satan is out to make you depressed. Satan is out to make you mentally and emotionally sick. Satan is out to put such pressure and such oppression upon you that you become almost unable to function. We have a world of people who are oppressed by the devil. All the doctors give it all kinds of psychological terms. The devil, or the world, I should say, with the devil's help, give it all kinds of descriptions. And they have all kinds of drugs that make it even worse. Even worse. Even worse. Did you hear me? Oppression is a work of Satan. Now, saints of God, you got to listen to me, because Satan can oppress a saint. Satan can oppress a believer. And Satan is out to oppress you. You try to be spiritual. You try to walk in the fire of the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, Satan is going to come along and just give you some old crazy excuse to try to depress you, to try to oppress you, to make you literally miserable in your emotions. Oh, I've had a many of a time I would suddenly wake up to my feelings and emotions and how depressed I was and realize I had no business being under that depression. And I would tell the devil what for, and he had no choice but leaving. He can't depress you unless you let him. Oh, you say, Brother Chambers, you're making me feel bad. I hope I do if you're allowing the devil to oppress you. I see so many people all the time, people in the house of God, people part of the church, and they're miserable half the time. To get a smile out of them, it almost requires, you got to pull it out of them. I want to tell you something, friend. The devil is the oppressor, and the Holy Ghost is the deliverer, and you have no reason to be oppressed under the power of the devil. I went to Trader Joe's on Friday to buy a few groceries. I get my milk there. It's creamy. It's good milk. At least one third of that store is nothing but different kinds of wine. It is. I mean, they usually serving, you know, little drinks of it to entice you to the flavor that they think is good. And I always go up, and they got cheese also. I'll go up and get me a piece of cheese and said, I don't drink that strong stuff. I love to do it as a witness, you know. I don't need it. Why do I need it? You know why people need wine? It's because they're depressed. You know why people need to smoke cigarettes? Because they need a lift. They need something to pick them up. They need something to give them a little high. Why do people drink whiskey? Why do people take drugs? Why is the industry of strong drugs and strong things in America so big? It's because people are living under depression and don't know. It's the devil's doing. Do you understand what I'm saying? But Jesus will set you free. I'm not supposed to preach this yet. That's later on. But I'm going to take a moment here and tell you Jesus will set you free. Hallelujah. You don't have to be depressed. You must not let yourself be depressed. It is not of God. It is of the devil. Learn to say no to it. Learn to stand up against it. Learn to say, devil, you share your wares somewhere down the road. I'm not interested. The devil oppresses. Now, let's back down. When he oppresses a sinner, what does the sinner do? You know, the psychologists have got a big business today. And I read some time ago, the psychologists are going to the psychologist. And the psychiatrists are going to the psychiatrist. They need each other. And I'm going to tell you, it is a world of great sorrow. It is a world of great trouble. How many know that every ounce of depression is of the devil? Would you raise up your hand? I want to know that I'm reaching you this morning. And I want to tell you, don't you allow yourself to be depressed another day. Probably you are depressed because your spiritual level is not where it ought to be. You don't pray like you ought to pray. You don't read that Bible like you ought to read that Bible. You don't spend enough time in God. And I'm going to tell you, the devil will make you depressed, especially on Sunday morning. I know, I don't feel like going to church this morning. I feel so bad. Bless your little sweetheart. You still love me? Come on, you still love me? Listen, tell the devil what for. You stand up straight and square your shoulders and say, in the name of Jesus, I belong to the King. Hallelujah. Come on, raise your hand up. I belong to the King. How many of you know you can defeat depression in a moment? You can defeat it in a moment. But the wicked, they don't know how to defeat it. They got to run get a pill. They got to go and get some kind of strong drug. They got to go get a bottle of wine. They got to go get some. Did you know that Pentecostal preachers are drinking wine big time today? If you're pastoring a church and you don't trust in God, you'll need some wine. Can you understand that with a little smile on my face? You know, I'm telling you the truth. It ain't easy being a pastor. It really isn't. And if you allow yourself to be depressed, it'll depress you. I've been pastoring 58 years. Sister Chambers and I know, but we love it. And we defeat the devil every time. Sometimes it takes us a day or two. Sometimes, I've allowed myself to be depressed for hours. And then wake up. Why? How foolish. The devil depresses. But now you understand the world out there. Look at the mob that is revolting against Trump today. Look at what's happening on the streets all over America. Well, I can understand. Now, I can understand when you don't trust God and you don't understand the values that we understand and you don't like conservative thinking and you don't like doing something about some of the junk that's gripped America and you want to see things turned around, but they don't understand that and they just live under the power of the devil. Pray for them. The next time you see a mob, you reach out your hand and claim the name of Jesus over them and pray for God to give them a miracle. I was watching Hillary and Bill of the day on the television in the news, and my heart just smote me with passion for their miserable condition. Oh, God, living in the things that has possessed them. They are possessed of all of that. They're possessed of it. You got to understand that. And they need you to care about their soul, not to agree with them, not to take up for them, but to pray for them. Now, oppression. The next is obsession. Do you understand what it means to be obsessed? Something takes you captive. Something takes over your whole being. Christians can be obsessed a short period of time, but not long, because obsession is going to destroy your faith. Obsession is going to wreck your Christian walk. Obsession is going to reduce you to a defeated person, and you're going to give up. How many people have I seen come to church through my 58 plus years and watch them come in with great joy and great excitement, and somewhere in a short period of time, something got a hold of them, and they became depressed, and then they became obsessed, and then they were gone? You could sit here, if you would, this morning, and you'll understand this truth that I'm preaching, and you could find dozens of people obsessed. Sometimes it's just plain resentment. Sometimes it's jealousy. Sometimes they didn't get their way. Sometimes they got offended at somebody. Somebody said something offensive. If I was going to get offended every time somebody says something offensive, I'd have backslid a long time ago. But it's not what people say that hurts me. It's what I do with what people say that hurts me. And you know what I do with it? I turn it over to God. I turn it over to God. When somebody says, you don't deserve to be a preacher, you know what I say? You're perfectly right. I don't deserve to be a preacher. I don't even deserve to be a Christian. I was a rascal before Jesus saved me. And it's all grace and nothing but grace and nothing but His love. Somebody shout with me or something, will you? And His mercy. But now, understanding, if a Christian can become obsessed, and they can, as I said, a short period. But sinners are literally obsessed with hatred, with malice. I will guarantee you that 98% of every one of those marching the streets of America and crashing through windows and even killing people, catching somebody that voted different from them and just taking them and beating them. Why do people do things like this? They're obsessed. And now I'm going to get to the other. Just a minute. Be patient. Obsessed. All it takes to become wild is to become obsessed. That's all it takes to become wild. Unfettered obsession. Obsession that's not quickly defeated. Obsession that's not quickly stopped. Obsession that's not quickly overcome will take you right down the road of sorrow. Are you listening to me? All of this is captivity that the devil effects upon people's life. Every bit of this is Satan's way and Satan's method of taking you captive. He wants to take you under his own wings, and he wants to make a wreck out of you. He wants to make a destructive person out of you, and he's out for every one of you. And you've got to hear me now. He's out for every one of you. But now there's a third level. And there's a multitude today that are possessed. Possessed with the devil. Possessed with the devil. Demon spirits actually come in and set up their reign in the heart. It usually starts with oppression or obsession, but then becomes possession. Satan don't just walk up to somebody and say, I'm going to possess you. He can't do that. He has got to finagle his way in. He's got to plan his design. He's got to come one little step at a time. He's got to move on you slowly. Now, there's a world out there that's been taken possession by the devil. Now, I'll tell you something. The Holy Ghost gave me this. I believe the Holy Ghost did. I don't have any doubt. Possession as a whole has become extremely high-tech today. It is not obsession like you read a lot about in cultures of the world where the third world country lives in such poverty and so much demon voodooism, etc. But the obsession, I should say the possession in America is high tech. What I mean by that is it's people who are educated, people who are elitist, people who are quality individuals. People who really, really have great, great degrees about them. I met a young man recently. And the moment the young man walked where I was, I felt it. I felt the possession. I felt the work of evil. I found out later that he's moved into an elitist kind of liberalism, an elitist kind of possession, until the enemy has control of him. He is possessed, but it's not possessed in a crazy kind of way like this man we read about, but rather intellectual, rather, you know, high tech. I'm overwhelmed with this. I call it intellectual possession. Intellectual possession. And we've got a world full of that. Anybody, have I lost you? How many understand what I'm saying? Intellectual possession. They could out-talk you in a minute. They are smart as a whip. They are so caught up in this liberalism, and they call it progressive. It's not progressive, it's regressive. It's not going upward, it's going downward. It's not becoming smarter, it's becoming dumber. And they literally are controlled by this intellectual possession. And we got a world full of it today. We got a world full of it today. Now, you can take these three words and you can study all of society. You can read any story. You can read the news in the newspaper or on the TV or the internet. And you're going to find as you read and watch and look that everybody is that's not free. That's not free. That hasn't been set free is either under one or the other. Either they are depressed or they are obsessed. Are they possessed? You understand, we got a world full of that. Now you got to listen to me, because I want to tell you something. The only answer for any of that is Jesus. Are you listening to me? The only answer for any of that is Jesus. And Jesus is totally and utterly and perfectly able to set any one of them free. Hallelujah. He is able. He is desirous. It is his interest. He wants to set them free. He wants to make them whole. He wants to change their life. Now, you go with me back to my text. Go with me back to my text. And go if you would please, if you don't mind, to verse 6 of Mark 5. But when he saw Jesus. Woo! When he saw Jesus, just a moment ago, he was living in a tomb. Just a moment ago, he was cutting himself with glass and rocks. Just a moment ago, he was so bound that they could put chains around him and he could burst the chains asunder. He was one mad man. He was one possessed character. He didn't just have one demon. He had 2,000 demons. And I'm here to tell you, we got some folks today that's got some thousands of demons. You follow them a little bit and you can tell how wild. My gracious, it is pathetic. But that man saw Jesus. I want to tell you something. The only answer in today's world is that they see Jesus. There is no other answer. There is no other antidote. There is no other drug. There is no other escape. It's Jesus or it's nothing. Hallelujah. And if the church has ever been obligated to make Jesus real to this world, I'm here to tell you, we got to make Jesus real in our world. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm in love with him. I'm in love with him when he saw Jesus. Oh, Brother Marlin, when he saw Jesus, he did exactly what I believe the majority of people out there will do. when they see Jesus. I'll never forget. A lady called me one day over in Belmont. I've told this story before. Some of you have never heard it. She said, I've got a brother. He's an alcoholic of the worst degree. She told me how many years he'd lived in alcoholism. She said he's finally moved over into the woods over behind the East Belmont Golf Club. And he lives there in the woods. And he comes out when he sees people playing golf and he'll caddy for them. Push around their caddy. I think that's the right word for it, is it? With the golf clubs in it. And that's how he makes a little money to buy his drugs, his whiskey and his beer. Reverend Chambers, would you help him? I said, well, I would love it. I would love him. Love it. I said, tell me how to get to him. She said, well, he won't allow that. I'll have him call you. So he calls me on the phone. His first name was Gene. Well, Gene called me and said, Reverend Chambers, my sister wanted me to call you. And I'm in a fix. I'm in a bad mess. I said, where are you at, Gene? I want to come. He said, I don't want you to come. I don't want you to see me. I said, okay, Gene, I got an answer for you. I want you to take your book of John. You have a Bible there? He said, oh, yes. My sister Saul had a Bible. Would you take the book of John, Gene? And I want you to read it over and over and over. Now, Gene, don't get in a hurry. Just read it. And I don't want you to pray but one little simple prayer. I want you to pray, I want to see Jesus. And he started reading that book to see Jesus. And he read, I don't know how many days, it was weeks. All of a sudden, something gripped his mind. And he saw through the words. And he saw through the theology. And he saw through all these beautiful stories. And he got a little view of him who is the Son of the living God. And he surrendered his life to Jesus. Oh, I felt the Holy Ghost all over my being. He saw Jesus. You see, he didn't see him with his eyes. You don't have to see him with your eyes. All you need to do is see him with your heart. And I'm here to tell every one of you, if you'll begin to pray like you've never prayed, and you begin to dig your way in the altar to God, and you begin to spend some lengthy times on your face with God, and just, I'm not kidding you, just pray, I want to see Jesus. It'll all start with you, and you'll be so changed. I wonder sometimes. I've watched so many people backslide. I've watched preachers, compromised by the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And I've never had any interest in either one. I just want him. And I point back to that place in my life where I went to the Rockwell Church of God at night, and my wife will remember it. And I went every night for days on end reading the book of John. I didn't read nothing else. I didn't want to hear nothing else. I want to see you, Jesus. You've got to become so real to me. And I'll never forget one night the back door opened and somebody came in. The door wasn't open and I saw nobody. But Jesus invaded this little fella's life and became as real to me as my hand. Became as real to me as anything could be. And I knew him. In a moment of time, I was saved, I was sanctified, and I was filled with the Holy Ghost before it happened. But after it happened, I was another man. Brother Joseph, I've been that ever since, too. Because once you get a vision of him, really see it. Somebody help me pray. Raise your hand up, would you? Once you get a real vision of him. I'm here to tell you that probably 80% of all of you have never had the kind of vision with Jesus that you need to have. You need to see him in his glory, see him in his majesty, see him in his divinity, see him in his everlasting power, and it will so change your life. Nothing else will ever satisfy you. Oh, hallelujah. What a Savior he is. Hallelujah. The first thing any captive person has got to experience is Jesus. They've got to see Jesus. I love this text. Go back to your Bible. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. That's a demon-possessed maniac. That's a demon-captive creature. That's a wild man out of the tombs. That's a man who was the fear of the whole place called Decapolis. They feared him. They feared him. They had to keep him chained. They had to try to tie him off. They had to try to keep him captive. He was fearsome. He was awesome. But one look at the cross of Calvary, the Son of the living God, and he was a different man. Isn't that a breathtaking story? I mean, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. He cried with a loud voice. See, he didn't just see Jesus. He saw himself. What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? He knew him. You see, these demons had been in heaven when Lucifer rebelled. These demons had walked the streets of gold. These demons had lived in the realm of the holy. These demons were created by God as perfect angels. These demons were right out of the realm of the heavenlies. They had seen him before. I like that. They'd seen him before. They'd seen him on the right hand of the Father. They'd seen him as the high priest of the heavenly temple. They'd seen him as that great power of the heavenly Trinity. They knew him. And when these demons in that man saw him, they knew who he was. And in a moment of time, they knew who they were. Hallelujah. Fallen demons under captivity to the devil. Why art thou come to torment us before our time, they said. They were concerned, and this was in the man. This was coming out of his lips. The demoniac was speaking for the devil, or the devil was speaking through the demoniac. And Jesus said, come out of him. They'd already heard that, come out of him. And now they're resting for their future. And they go on and they argue with him. Well, don't send us out into the deep. You see those swine over there? Those bunch of pigs? Let us go over there and possess them. And he gave them leave. And they left the man and went and possessed the pigs. And the pigs killed themselves. You wonder why people commit suicide? It's the devil's business. You got to understand this. It's the devil's business. And the only hope for this world is Jesus. I'm here to tell you, we've got to have Jesus in us until he flows out of us. We've got to have the presence of Jesus in our face. We've got to have the gentleness of Jesus in our words. We've got to have the gentleness of Jesus in our steps. We've got to show the world Jesus. Some of you do not show the world Jesus like you ought to. And I'm charging you this morning to wake up and get rid of all the self and the flesh. Oh, there's so much more I need to preach this morning. And I'm aware of that. But listen to me. The devil comes to you through a gateway. That gateway is either your mind or it's either your emotions. Only two ways the devil can come to you, your mind or your emotions. Or he'll do it. He'll use his best efforts. Or you could spend a long time on those two realities. But I'm here to tell you, look beyond the veil of tears. Look beyond the troubles of your world. Look beyond the hard things that you're dealing with. Look beyond the break that you have in your life and see Jesus. And listen, you've got to start telling, oh, God has got a hold of me studying this sermon that I got to talk about Jesus like I've never talked about him. If I be lifted up, he said, I will draw all men unto me. It's Jesus that brings sinners to the cross. Brother Dylan, the bus ministry has got to lift up Jesus and hold him high and magnify him and let everybody that knows you see Jesus, somehow knowing how real he is. Woo, isn't he wonderful? Wonderful, wonderful is the Lord. Now hear me. This story continues, and this man is set free. I love it when he's driven the devils out, and the multitudes are hearing the story, and they come to where Jesus is. And here is this man who they remember as an awesome threat to the whole community, and he's sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed. You get saved, you'll put some clothes on. That's free. I'm not charging you for that part of my sermon. You get saved, you'll put some clothes on. You won't want this world to see your nudity. You won't want the world to look at you lustfully. You're not going to want it when you get good saved. That man was a demoniac. He was crazy as a bat, as the old-fashioned saying is. But one look at Jesus and one word from the Christ, and he's a new man. And he's put on some, what, he gets clothes so fast? He must have had a leftover suit that he'd give up a long time ago before he went into such a mob condition. And he went and found him some clothes and came. And now he's sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. Now, I've got a bunch of things that I want to tell you, and I'm just going to take a couple of them. There are many things happening today that are taking people captive. Many things. Nothing more than television and internet and video games and all of that social media garbage. It doesn't mean you're supposed to forsake it and you can't have a Facebook site. It don't mean that you don't use your internet for searching out the news. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying your mind is the gateway. And what you put in front of your mind can take you in captivity. I'll never forget one night I was at a home of some key church people. And they had the TV on. And an old nasty sexual scene came on. And nobody even said, let's close that off. I'm sorry. It was like it was normal fare. I went home, and I had to take a bath. Have you ever been somewhere, and you go home, and you needed a bath because that junk was so unclean? Oh, God. Are you listening to your pastor? You can't look at that junk and not be unclean. You can't watch an old sexual scene on television and it not make you nasty. You can't read some old nasty book and not be affected. I mean to tell you, that's how the captivity of the devil begins. And you can go on and on. Friends, your friends can be good friends, but you better hold friends that are not saved at arm's length. Because friends have a spirit in their life that controls them, and that spirit is out to get you. The music you listen to. You listen to rock and roll music. There is no way you can live a clean life and not become oppressed or obsessed and maybe possessed. Rock and roll music is from hell. I don't care if the lyrics are Christian. It still came from hell because it stirs up the emotion of the soul. You see, rock music is not music that stirs the spirit of a man to worship God. It's music that stirs the soul of man to worship the old Adamic nature. And I've watched people get involved in that music, and every time it makes a spiritual wreck out of them. Oh, Brother Chambers, you just bothered me. I hope I do. But I want to bother you for good. Hey, there's so many things in that list, and I'd like to tell you, but let's talk a little bit in closing about Jesus. How many of you in this building, you understand that you've got family, and you've got loved ones, and you've got friends, and most of them are away from God, and even in the church, they've become such compromisers, and the church has lost the standards of right. I want to tell you something. Holiness is as real today as when I got saved 64 years ago. Are you listening to me? When I met Jesus in that Rockwell church at that altar out of the book of John, I've never doubted the holiness of the Lord one moment. It changed head to toes. Jesus is the one who changes us. It isn't Brother Chambers. It isn't nobody else. It's Jesus that changes us. It's Jesus that makes a new creature out of us. Now, in closing, I want to tell you this morning, I don't know what anybody here may feel. There's no doubt somebody here extremely depressed. Or at least you have to deal with it. Maybe not this morning, but you dealt with it last week or week before. There's somebody here. You still obsessed with some things that you have no business being obsessed with. Worldly things. Unclean things. You're careless about your dress. Let me tell you something the Holy Ghost showed me this week. The universities of America, and this has been big on the news for several weeks now. The universities of America are doing their best to destroy all masculinity in men. They want every man to be a wimp. Do you know why Trump has made so many people ferocious? It's because he talks like a he-man. Now, sometimes he overdoes it, but he's unsaved man can overdo it. And I'm not defending that stuff. I'm just here to tell you, this world knows that a man being a man is not bad. And a woman being feminine is beautiful. There's nothing more beautiful than a feminine woman that dresses and keeps herself like a lady. You see, now don't you leave me. This whole business of men dressing like women and women dressing like men is one of the biggest designs that the devil ever dropped on our society. Why did the devil start with that? Do you know, I remember when it started. I have lived from the very beginning of it when it became ordinary and enjoyable for women to wear the attire of a man. I'm going to tell you where it came from. It came from the devil. I'm here to tell you, the devil, you read the book of Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5, and it says a man should not dress like a woman, and a woman should not dress like a man, and if they do, they commit abomination. And it says pertaineth unto, so you can't say, well, they made it like a man, but they gave it a woman's look. Oh, come on now. He said pertaineth unto. That covers the whole thing. And don't you say it's all right for a lady to dress like a man if you won't accept me going to that pulpit with a dress on. How many would accept me on Sunday morning to go to the pulpit with a dress on? Let me see your hand. You'd go crazy, wouldn't you? How many of you would get up and walk out of here? If you didn't, you're crazy. Well, what's the difference? If my wife wouldn't dare do it. Let me tell you, that woman is a lady. That's why people think she's so beautiful, because she looks feminine. She looks ladylike. Oh, boy, why did I get on this? Is it all right? I mean, say it's all right to tell people that a woman ought to be a woman and a man ought to be a man. And my Bible says it's an abomination for you to dress like the opposite sex. That is where all of this wickedness come from. Now, I'm not going to tell you there aren't some good, decent people who have not understood this. Most of it's because most preachers don't have the courage to preach nothing but what sounds good. But you know me. You know, if it's in the book, it's in the book. How many will say that with me? If it's in the book, it's in the book. Come on, raise your hand way up high. If it's in the book, it's in the book. Now, some of you ladies are going to need to go home and do some work in your dress room. Oh, I'm going to put this back in case I ever change my mind. Well, you might as well keep it because you've already changed your mind. When you get rid of it, you're going to want to be rid of it. And you're not going to want to sell it at a yard sale either. And you're not going to want to give it to somebody so they can do what you had to quit doing. No. You just go all the way and burn the bridge. What do you say? Let's burn the bridges behind. Is everybody with me? If you're with me burning the bridges behind you, stand up with me, would you? I'm burning the bridges behind me. I'm going heaven's direction. I've got to make Jesus as real as it's possible to make Jesus. Raise your hands and tell him to take over your life. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Give yourself to him. Be a man or be a lady. Oh, God help us. Oh, the devil uses all of this to weed his way into human hearts. But Jesus has set us free. Wow. You know, I kind of enjoy preaching. Come to the music for me, dear ladies. Would you come, Brother Joseph? Come, Sister Vet, also. And I want you to sing an invitational song. And I want to give you a chance in this building. Whatever has you captive. Now listen to me. Don't tell me there's not people in this building who've allowed something to obsess you and you can't get rid of it. Or you've allowed something to just depress you. How many in the building will be honest with me? I've already been honest with you about me. And you have times when you get depressed. Let me see your hand. Anybody in the building? It's hard to say. I know you kind of hate to raise your hand. You get depressed. Let me see your hand. Ah, you get depressed. Says the chambers. I know. We get depressed sometimes. We got a load. But we know how to whip it, don't we? And I'm telling you, the Christ of Calvary has broken the barrier. And the devil has no right to depress you. You got to hear me say that. The devil has no right to depress you. Tell him no longer, Brother Carlos. Tell him no longer, Sister Marilyn. Tell him no longer, Brother Forbes. Tell him no longer, Brother Marlon. All those days that you get up and the devil's waiting on the side of the bed. And the first thing you think is, I got up on the wrong side of the bed. No, you didn't get rid of the devil when you got up, is what's wrong. Woo! Somebody shout hallelujah. Sister Angel, is this preaching all right? Well, I knew you would say yes. I wouldn't ask you if I hadn't known you'd say yes. Listen, church, I want you to raise your hand and worship, sing for us. Let's just worship a moment first, then we're going to give an invitation.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling.
Oh, he does call.
Calling for you and for me.
Hallelujah.
See on the portals he's waiting and watching.
Now anybody in this building, you're dealing with anything that you need to be set free from, come and find your place at this altar. I want you to stand. Quickly.
Come home.
Come quickly. Come quickly.
Come home.
Anybody? Yes, lady, you want deliverance. He's going to deliver you this morning.
Come home.
Raise your hand, would you? Softly.
Softly and tenderly.
This old world is filled with disappointment and trouble everywhere. Many times I get discouraged and I almost lose my way. Then I remember I'm just a pilgrim in this troubled world below. There's one thought that keeps me singing as I go. Just a few more days to labor. Then we'll sit down beside that river. How I long to be with Jesus. And my loved ones gone before. There's a better day a-coming. We're not home yet. Honey, just waiting for me. Someday Jesus will come and take me over the sea. So I'll keep watching and waiting in this troubled world below. There's one thought that keeps me singing. Just a few more days to labor. Then we'll sit down beside that river. How I long to be with Jesus. And my life.